We continue our learning. Nishmas David ben Menachrish and Micham Yaakov b'Pidchos Leo. We're in sort of Periches Mishnah Zayin. Bamei Devar Mamurim. So now we come to explain when do all those exemptions apply? Where we say the person who was married and Natakerim and all of those exemptions. So the Mishnah here says b'Melchemes Harishos. When we're speaking about a war that is not obligatory, let's say the war that David fought against Aram Tzova, where he expanded the territory of Eretz Yisrael, which we read about in Shmuel Aleph Periches. But in a war that the Torah commands us to fight, let's say to conquer the land of Israel, everybody has to go out. No one's free from participating in this war. There are no exemptions. This is, let's say, the war to destroy Amalek or to defend Israel, the people of Israel, the land of Israel. Even a chassan, a groom from his cheder, from his chamber, from the chuppah, and kala michupasa. So instead of saying that people who are newlyweds have to serve during their first year of marriage, we use this description because this is found in Yoel in Perek Beis, where it's come to teach us how severe the war may be. If there's a war that's so serious, so yes, a bride and groom are drafted even out of the chuppah. You'll say, are women obligated to participate in the war in combat? So the Radvaz in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Zayin says, well, we refer to the fact that women, not necessarily are in combat, but they have to supply food and water, whatever is appropriate for women to do, she has to take on those responsibilities. So that's regarding a Melchemes Mitzvah. Melchemes HaRashus, we have the exemptions that we mentioned above, but Melchemes Mitzvah, everybody participates. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bamed Devar HaMamurim, B'Melchemes Mitzvah, Aval B'Melchemes Chova, HaKol Yotzim. So this is a little bit confusing. What's Rabbi Yehuda coming to teach us? This is all true for a Melchemes Mitzvah, but a Melchemes Chova, everyone has to go out, even a Chassan and a Kala. What's the difference between a Melchemes Mitzvah and a Melchemes Chova? Sounds like Rabbi Yehuda says that the exemptions apply to Melchemes Mitzvah. And when we speak about everybody has to go out to war, even a bride and a groom, that's not a Melchemes Mitzvah, that's a Melchemes Chova. So what's the difference? The Gemara in Daf Mem Dalet says that regarding the halachos in the Mishnah, there's really no machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, which means that everyone agrees that the wars that commanded to us by the Torah, like conquering the land of Israel in the days of Yeshua, or destroying Amalek, or protecting the land of Israel and the people, there are no exemptions. Even Chassan and Kala have to serve. The only difference is in terminology. The Chachamim called that a Melchemes Mitzvah, whereas a Yehuda calls that a Melchemes Chova. And not only that, they also agree regarding a Melchemes HaRashus. Like David expanding the land of Israel and conquering Aram Tzova, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that that's what we call Melchemes HaRashus, and it's subject to all the exemptions that we mentioned, the people who got married and planted a vineyard and built a new house. So Rabbi Yehuda agrees that we call that a Melchemes HaRashus. So the machlokas here is a third type of war, a preemptive war, to prevent our neighbors from potentially attacking us. We're going to forestall any potential attacks from our neighbors. So that everyone agrees that the exemptions are going to apply. And the person who built a house and planted a vineyard and got married, so these people are going to have exemptions. The only question is that called a Melchemes Mitzvah? So why do we care? So the answer is because there's a principle called Osek Mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah. So according to the Chachamim, this type of preemptive war is not called a Melchemes Mitzvah. It's also called a Melchemes HaRashus, and therefore it has all of the exemptions and the halacha, which everyone agrees to. But the halach of osik b'mitzvah patur b'mitzvah will not apply because it's a melchemes harashus. Rabbi Yehuda comes to classify this as a melchemes mitzvah in the sense that osik b'mitzvah patur b'mitzvah applies. If you're involved in this particular war, you're exempt from other mitzvos, but the exemptions still apply. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda needed to do, in order to distinguish between this type of war, what he calls a melchemes mitzvah, even though, and it's not a rashus, it's a mitzvah in the sense that osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah will apply. He needs to call, and that's the preemptive war. He needs to call, and the exemptions will apply to that. He needs, therefore, to call the obligatory war as not a milchemes mitzvah, but rather a milchemes chova. So that's why he used that language, milchemes chova, for what the chachamim call milchemes mitzvah. He calls a milchemes chova, and what he calls a milchemes mitzvah does have the exemptions, is only preemptive war. It's not against Amalek and defending the land of Israel and the people. But he calls him the Chametz Mitzvah because he applies the principle of Osek B'Mitzvah, Pater Menah Mitzvah. We begin the ninth perek, which is called Egla Arufa. The Torah in Devarim Chaf Aleph, Psukim Aleph through Tes, in the end of Parshas Shoftim, speaks about the fact if you find a chalal, a dead body, Ba'adama, that Hashem in the land of Israel, Nofel Basadeh, you don't know who killed him. So it says, V'yatzu Zikeinecha V'Shofetecha. We'll discuss that, who the elders are, their judges are, Umadidu'el Ha'arim, and they measure to see which is the closest city to the Chalal, and the one that's closest, V'lakuchu Zikenei Horei Ahi Eglas Bakar, they take this calf, Asher L'Ubad Ba, Asher L'Amash Chalal, it was never worked, and never had any burden, a yoke on top of it, and where do they bring it? To a Nachal Eson, to a rocky area, a valley, Asher Lo Yavei Bevelo Yizarea, that was never worked, never planted, V'arufu Shom Es Ha'egla Banachal, and they break the back of the neck of this calf, and the Kohanim Bnei Levi come, and they, as it says, because they have been chosen, V'al Piyam Yeh Kol Rivichol Naga, they're involved in different disputes, V'cholzik Nei Ha'ir Ha'hi Ha'krovim El Ha'chalol Yir Chatsu Es Yedehem, literally they wash their hands, Al Ha'egla Ha'rufa Banachal. Then there's something that's recited. They say, we're not responsible. We not spill the blood of this person. Hashem, you should atone, give atonement to the people. And then the pastor, and they conclude by saying, so it says like this in our Perek Test Mishnah. Egla Arufa Bilashon HaKodesh Ne'emar. Belashon HaKodesh. That's done in Hebrew. And that was what we said all the way at the beginning when we're discussing all that which is done in Hebrew. Egla Rufa, that which the Zekanim say, Yodenu lo shafchu es adam hazeh, and that which the Kohanim say, Kaper lamcha Yisrael, that's all Belashon HaKodesh. And the Gemara explains why. Because by Egla Rufa, it says, Va'anu va'amaru. And when it comes to Brachos and Klalos, it says, Va'anu halavim va'amaru. Just Malahalan Belashon HaKodesh. Just like we know that the Levim Brachos and Klolos, the Levim at the bottom of Har Gizim and Har Eval, they say Va'amru in Lashon HaKodesh. So too, Va'anu Va'amru of Egel Arufa after the Lashon HaKodesh. And we remind ourselves, how do we know that the Brachos and the Klolos that the Levim said at Har Gizim and Har Eval were in fact in Hebrew? That's another Xerosh. That's Kol Kol. When it comes to Moshe at Har Sinai, uses the word Kol. And here it says, by Brachos to Klolos, Kol Ram. So therefore, we have Xerah Shava that the Brachos Kolos are in Hebrew. And now, since it says Va'anu Halavim Va'amaru there, and it says Va'anu Va'amaru by Egla Rufa, so Egla Rufa also has to be done in Hebrew. And then the Mishnah says Shenamar. Now, Shenamar is not the source for how I know Egla Rufa should be recited in Hebrew, but rather, what's the source of the order of the Egla Rufa? So it says, Ki matzei chalal ba'adama v'yatzu zikeinecha v'shofetecha. Who does this refer to? Shlosha mi beisin hagodol shebirushalayim hayu yotzin. To the place where the chalal was found to measure the closest city, those are people, members of the Sanhedrin. How many? It says three. How do I know that? Well, it says v'shofetecha, which is miyuchadim shebishofetecha. Must be designated special people of special judges that we have, so that refers to the Sanhedrin. How do I know there are supposed to be three, which happens to be Rabbi Shimon's opinion, the Gemara explains, Adaf Mem Dalid, because it says, Zikeinecha, and Zikeinecha is a minimum of two, and then we have the rule of Ein based in Shokol, you can't have an even number based in, because you need to be able to vote generally, so that's anytime you need a based in, we have to have an odd number, so therefore we throw on another one, and we have three. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and that's the Reisha of the Mishnah. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chamishta, no, it wasn't three, but it was five members of Beis HaGadol, because he doesn't only learn from the word Zekeinecha, he derives also from the word judges. Shenehemar zikeinecha shnayim and shovishovtecha shnayim. So that's two and two. Because the kenev shovtecha, that's lashon rabin. So therefore that's four. The ain based in shokol, you can't have an odd number, so therefore, or an even number, therefore, mosif anelav erechad, and therefore we have five. Rabbi Shimon obviously is not learning from something separate from the word shovtecha. He understands that shovtecha is just explaining the elders. Who are the zakenim? The zakenim are the shoftim, are the people from the Sanhedrin. So therefore we can't use shovtecha to teach us a number of judges. Only zakenecha does. That's two. Add on one because ain based in shokol and you have three.